Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of the Confessions of a Crappy Christian podcast. I'm your host and resident crappy Christian, Blake Guiche, and I'm so pumped to be bringing you season 2 of this show, packed full of more people telling incredible stories of who God is and what he's done. Today's interview is with Dr. Chuck Page. Chuck is a surgeon, author, and storyteller who has had a ringside seat to the sick and suffering. And today we're talking about faith and selflessness in the midst of hard times. Chuck, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
It's great to be here, Blake. It's really an honor.
Yeah, so you are a surgeon and an author. We were just talking about it before we started recording. You have a foot in both worlds. You wrote A Spoonful of Courage for the Sick and Suffering, transforming your greatest challenges into your biggest blessings. So
yes, ma'am.
To get us started, tell us about yourself and what you do, and tell us about your book.
So I'm also a dad. I'm a father of 5 children. I've been married to my wife, Joanna, for 25 years. So I carry a lot of different hats, and being a small town surgeon, I do a lot of different things. I mean, from trauma to cancer to endoscopy to breast cancer, you name it, we do it. So it's kind of funny. I've kind of had this ringside seat to watch people go through the most difficult times of their life. And it's really been interesting, and I've learned to listen to people, and I've learned to kind of learn their lessons. Mm. You know, as I've kind of walked through this, my journeys with people, some good, some bad. You know, we're not all perfect, but it's been a good ride. So I've been doing this for about 20 years. I've been out of residency for 20 years now. So you can do the math. Yeah, I'm a dinosaur. So in a really crazy changing healthcare system. I mean, things are you know, just changing every day. And sometimes I feel like we're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. You know, I mean, it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
But it's really neat because one of the neat things about working in healthcare is you're able to get up in the morning and you realize, I mean, whatever problems you've got going on in your life, you really realize that it could always be worse. And that's kind of one of the things that I want folks to kind of get from the book as they read the stories, is that these are real stories about real people. You know, and so often we get consumed with our own problems and our own challenges, and we forget that we have a lot to be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of one of the big ideas that I want people to kind of, to get from the book as they kind of read through the pages and read the stories.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. Rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. I think I'm gonna steal that because
yes, ma'am.
So accurate. So you are a small town surgeon, which means you do all of the things. We talked a little bit before we started recording about, I mean, you're here and you're there and you're really like juggling all of the things where a lot of people are usually more like focused in their practice, right? So you have therefore seen so much more probably than another surgeon would, because you are kind of spanning, right? Like you're spanning the spectrum.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Because
I'm serving a community, you know, and so a lot of times I'm the only guy that there is to call. Funny story, I tell people I'm the best guy to see on the worst day of your life. I went into a room to see a patient in the hospital, and I walked in the room, and he just started smiling. He just looked so happy, and he said, "Hey, Doc, I hadn't seen you in 7 years." And I was like, man, that kind of hurts my feelings, you know. And so Yeah, I kind of said, "Well, what's the deal, man? Why are you so happy that you haven't seen me in 7 years?" He said, "Well, you know, Doc, the last time you saw me, you chopped my leg off, you know."
Oh my gosh.
I'm kind of the guy that you really you hope you never see,
Right.
but you know, when I'm there, you know, hopefully you'll realize that I'm needed. So
Yeah.
it's been a good gig.
Yeah, absolutely. So where did your desire to write a book and encourage the sick and the suffering in their challenges, what inspired you to put this book together and put people's stories together?
But a lot of it kind of arose out of my faith, you know, as a Christian of, you know, teaching people, you know, I teach a group of senior adults in our church on Sunday nights. And, you know, and I've kind of realized that we don't really need more information, although information is important. What we really need is inspiration. And so when you tell people a story, I mean, it just connects with people. And so, but really kind of what got me going with the book was that my office burned down about 3 years ago. So I had my own office. It was actually my retirement program. And I took off one evening. I went home. It was a Friday afternoon. I got a call from the emergency room and they said, you know, "Hey, Doc." And I said, "Wait a minute, I'm not gonna call in the emergency room." And they said, "Wait a minute, your building is on fire." So I went back and watched my building burn down. And it's interesting. As I walked through the rubble, there were four things there that kind of helped reminded me of things that I could, you know, kind of build my life back on. One was a Bible that had survived the fire. It was charred, but the words were still good. And the other was an old black doctor's bag. I'd use this, so you know, the old-fashioned doctor's bag. I had one of those, and the black smoke had kind of charred it. I realized that, hey, even though I lost my office, I still have an opportunity to practice and have an impact on people's lives. The third thing was these pictures of my kids. I had my wife loves pictures, and she had these pictures of all of our kids at the age of four. They were all dressed in cowboy outfits, and so those. I mean, the fire had singed the pictures, and they kind of changed. They were colored, and they became this kind of grayish Ansel Adams color. It just reminded me that, you know, I still have my family to influence. And then right at the top of the stairwell, there was this cross, and the fire had just completely just, I mean, it was hideous. It was a beautiful, you know, stained wall that my wife had worked on with a cross on it, and it was just this black, charred, you know, wall. And when I got up there, I took the cross off the wall. What was interesting is that behind the cross, there was still this beautiful stained wood. So there was this cross that was burned into the wall.
Wow.
Kind of reminded me that sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't ever really understand why they happen, but yet what really people see often in those times in our lives is hopefully they see the impression of Christ, you know, in those times that we never understand. You know, we're never going to understand the meaning of suffering on this side of eternity. I mean, you know, I don't think we're ever going to really figure it out. But I think maybe the goal should be different. Maybe it should be that, you know, Christ's life is imprinted in our lives, kind of burned in our lives like that wall. So just to encourage people that if you're going through a difficult circumstance, God's got this and he's working out some good things through this. So anyway, so my building burned down and kind of what inspired me to do the book is I was still on call that weekend and yeah, I had to go work and people began to tell me their stories. And I realized, you know, the pat on the back, you know, hey, it's going to be okay. All things work for good. Although those were good things, what really kept me going was when people told me their stories. And there's one guy in particular. I'll never forget this. I went in the room and he started telling me his story. He says, "Yeah, I saw you on TV and I heard about your building." And then he told me his story. He says, "You know, Doc, my house burned down and my wife was inside. She was an invalid and I couldn't get her out. And I had to watch her die in the house." And you know, I was kind of throwing my little pity party at that point in my life, and I realized when I heard his story, I said, "Wow, I have nothing to complain about," you know. And that's what the power of a story does, and that's kind of when I began kind of compiling these stories and kind of working on, you know, a spoonful of courage. So that's really kind of what got me going.
Yeah, I love that what we don't need more information. Like, we need more inspiration. You know, that's, and it, we live in this information age where whether you want it or not, information is being like shoved down your throats and
Absolutely.
screamed at you from all aspects. And I think we can feel like we have to, like, there's a responsibility to take it all in. And
Right.
it's so true, though, that like I don't need any more information unless I want it. Like, unless I want to learn how to knit, I don't need more information. Like, I need truth. I need people's stories to point me back to Christ and to point me back to what is important. And I love that that is your heart and your intention is to kind of have that optimistic view on things. I think that's so necessary. And I know, like, you're talking, I mean, your practice burns down, and then you have a conversation with someone whose house burned down, but they lost their wife in the process. I know you have to have had so many encounters with so many incredible stories. And I know that one of the things that you talk about in your book is the way that people's faith affects them walking through like suffering or illness. I'd love to hear about that a little bit.
Yeah, so I mean, faith definitely makes a huge impact on on the way we see our circumstances. You know, I mean, if we didn't have the truth of the scriptures that remind us, you know, like the scripture I just mentioned, you know, all things work, you know, together for good. They may not be easy, and they may not be, you know, something we, you know, at the time appreciate, but they're always realizing there's always something that God is working out behind the scenes in our suffering. And I would just encourage somebody, if you're going through a difficult circumstance, what if a health challenge, financial crisis, whatever, you know, remember that your story is important, and that there are people that really that your story will impact in a huge way if you just if you're just have the courage to share with them. And so, but yeah, it does make a difference. And you know, so often, and I see people who go through the process without faith, and I just wonder, man, they just have no, it's like they have no rudder, you know, to help them. No anchor for the soul, as it talks about in Hebrews, you know, no anchor for the soul to hold them in the midst of storms. And so, yeah, it just makes a huge difference. You know, I try to tell people to keep focus. You know, so often we don't realize that because we're so emotionally overwhelmed, we don't realize the possibilities that our problems bring, you know. And so, I mean, think about this. You know, suffering and difficult circumstances are an opportunity to grow in faith. I mean, you know, it talks about that in Romans. It talks about how character brings perseverance, and perseverance, all these things. And then James is talking about, you know, count it all joy, you know, as you know, as you when you go through all these things. So, you know, it does help us to grow into maturity. And I know that even having my building burned down and some other things I've faced, man, you know, I can't explain them. I don't understand them, but yet I know that somehow God's toughening me up a little bit. So, opportunity to grow. Number two, it's an opportunity you know, and it's an invitation to intimacy. I mean, the people that I've seen who are suffering, that are really suffering, especially with cancer or something, it's almost like those that are Christians, it's almost like the presence of God is just so palpable in their lives. You know, it talks about how God is our very present help in a time of trouble. And so, you know, it's just amazing how when things are going great in our lives, we just you know, we don't really you know, key in and connect with God like we do when we're going through a difficult crisis. And I really think that's why we that's one of the reasons why we go through all these things, is that we learn that really God is really all we need. So, and the third thing too is influence. I really think that we forget just how much people listen to us when we go through a difficult crisis, you know. And you know, my mother died of lung cancer probably 4 or 5 years ago, and just remembering all the people that came by, and just the impact that she had in their lives, not even by saying much, but just by her
Yeah.
presence. And so we all often forget that. It's kind of like, I play guitar, and you can play guitar, with or without the loudspeaker. But, pain is like that loud. I think it was C.S. Lewis, but the pain's like that loudspeaker. It's hooking your guitar up to an amp and cranking it up. I mean, people are just, they can't help but notice. And so when we realize those things, it makes it easier to endure them. It doesn't
Yes.
make them easy. I mean, that's why we didn't call the book A Spoonful of Sugar, because
Right.
we're not sugarcoating suffering. We're really, we're really, suffering and, challenges are real,
Yeah.
but God can give us the strength and power to get through them.
I love what you said about those two verses. Like, so the verse in Romans where Paul's talking about in Romans 8, like that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And I think we can like focus in on that verse and we love that verse and we hold on to that verse and that's great. But then we want to pretend like James 1 doesn't exist. Like we don't want to have the responsibility of considering suffering, like consider it all joy, right? Like we're cherry picking which hard and impactful verses we apply to our lives. And I think that if you apply both, I mean, that is the ultimate, right? If I can like consider these hard times opportunities for growth and solidarity with other people, and that this is a part of my story, and that God is using this for good, you know, it's kind of gosh, how different would believers look from the world when they're suffering if those things were present?
It helps us to keep going. And there's
Yeah.
so many people that they just, I mean, they get a diagnosis of cancer or they're in a car wreck or whatever, and whatever, and they give up. And often that is that's the tipping point in our life when God really begins to grow us and mature us and use us in ways that we never really thought imaginable. Let me tell you a funny story. So talk about trying to escape suffering. So I took this guy's small intestine out over at one of the hospitals. We have one of the hospitals over close to Walmart. And the guy's name was Willie. Anyway, Willie wasn't he wasn't the brightest guy. So anyway, so I got out and I took a small bowel out and everything went good. And this is typically an operation that you're usually in for a week. We put a tube down your nose because the bowels go to sleep. I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I went down to the recovery room to talk to his mother, and she says, "Now you got to remember, Willie's got to take his medicines. If he doesn't take his medicines, he gets really uncontrollable." So I said, "Yeah, okay." So anyway, so that night about 2 o'clock in the morning, I get a call from the hospital administrator. I mean, hospital 2 o'clock in the morning, hospital. Willie had left the hospital and had walked across the road over to Walmart. And I want you to realize, he's in the gown. We call the gown ICU, because of the tush he's showing. So he's there with his NG tube, his tube down his nose. He goes and he goes and buys a pair of sneakers and gets a bunch of soda pop. And he's drinking soda pop with his tush out, here in the Walmart. And so I get this call from the hospital administrator. We've got a problem. We've got a situation.
Yeah.
just thinking about Willie, the police had to come and get him, and he walked across the street in his IV pole. I mean, none of us want to endure suffering. We all want to try to escape it and get out of what God's trying to teach us in that. But if we just hang in there, and if we don't hang in there, I mean, it can get really kind of dangerous. And we don't learn those lessons. What's that saying about tests? Christians never fail tests. They just have to repeat them over and over again. So often, whatever circumstance we're going through, we got to learn the lesson, and we got to endure it and embrace it instead of trying to escape it. I think if we do that, it'll make all the difference.
Yeah, I completely agree. I have a close friend that struggles with fibromyalgia. And so she's pretty consistently and constantly in pain. The weather changes and she, you know, is miserable. And watching her walk through suffering and not try to escape it, not try to pretend like it's not happening, because that's the other thing that Christians will try to do. They think that enduring suffering means acting like it's not happening, right? Like everything's fine. I'm fine. This is great. Not this is like she'll be like, no, like We had a 40-degree weather change yesterday. Everything hurts, but God is still good. Like, her example of embracing, enduring, trusting God in the process of suffering, it's so multifaceted. And I think, and I think that you have done a great job of not attempting to simplify suffering, but just like bring it into the light and be like, this is real. Like, you are going to suffer, whether it is cancer, whether it is a building burning down, whether it is difficult relationships, like, you are going to suffer. But like, God is still good in the midst. He sees you in your suffering. He doesn't want you to act like it's not there, but he does want you to trust you in it. He does want you to trust him in it.
Absolutely. You know, so one way or another, God is going to be present. God give us the, you know, if he doesn't bring us out of the adversity, which he can do so often, he doesn't, but he gives us the power to endure whatever we're going through. And that's the thing. Remember, God, so often, I think too, through a difficult crisis, our emotions get the best of us. You know, we, our feelings, you know, we feel alone, we feel afraid, we feel, you know, we feel inadequate to face the challenges that are kind of ahead of us, you know, whatever they are. We feel just isolated. There's all these emotions. And so one of the things I want people to remember is to go back and not that feelings are bad, but go back to the facts that God is there. Mm-hmm. He has a purpose. He has a plan. We're not alone. He's always promised to be with us in whatever circumstance. He's always promised either get us out of it or bring us through it. One way or another, he's going to be with us. And so, and if there's all those opportunities. So, you know, and then, you know, from our facts, we move to our faith, and then we let our feelings follow. And so often when we let our feelings drive the train, you know, that's when we get into trouble, because we begin looking inward. You know, we begin looking, oh, you know, we throw pity party. I do this all the time. I had some to throw pity party about this morning. But anyway, and we begin to look inward, you know, and there's nothing wrong with it being introspective, but we first got to look upward. And when we look upward and we look at God and say, hey, God, you've got this, you know, all things work together, and we can go through all the promises of Scripture that we have and then begin, okay, these are the facts. Irregardless of how I feel about the situation, irregardless of my emotions, these are the facts. I'm not alone. You promised me to never leave me or forsake me. You know, you've given me the Holy Spirit. You give me yourself living inside me to guide me, to help me through these situations. So all that stuff we have, you know, we just have to believe it. And that's the next step, is just believing what God said. You know, it's interesting. You know that story. And so everybody knows the story in the Bible about, you know, when Peter walks on water. You know, and initially he's able to walk on water above his circumstances. And man, everything's going great. And then it says in the Scripture that he looked at the winds and he looked at the waves and he began to sink, you know. Mm-hmm. So Peter lost his focus. And when he lost his focus, he lost his faith, you know, his faith. He got distracted, and then he began to doubt. And that's what happens with all of us. I mean, none of us are perfect. We're all like Peter. We all sink because we lose focus. I mean, that's just part of, I think, being human. But getting back to the fact that, you know, if we keep our focus, we keep our faith, and it just makes things easier. But then all along, God and his grace is there to pull us up out of the water if we just ask him, you know? You know, and that's what Peter did, you know? Yeah. So, you know, show me your focus, I'll show you your future.
Yeah, and you know, I love that you, like, focus. It's like you focus on the facts and let that inform your feelings. Like, all the F's, F's, like, but it's true. And I think that, you know, I think that there is such a dichotomy for people between, like, either they feel like they're not allowed to have feelings, and to that I'm always, my response is always, well, God created you with feelings, so that's not true. But we were never intended to let our feelings drive the car, right? Like, they're in the car, but they can't drive the car because we're human, and our feelings, I tell people all the time, like, feelings aren't facts, you know, and sometimes that sounds really harsh, but it's true.
But it's true. But you know, but You know, we were created to be emotional beings. I mean,
Mm-hmm.
we worship, we experience joy. I mean, those are all feelings that we have.
Right.
But the source of the feelings comes from the facts, comes from the truth. And so often, you know, we focus on our experiences, and you know, and that's we got to get back to seeing, you know, our interpreting our experiences through the lens of Scripture. You
Yeah.
know, and so that's you know, that's where it at. But I'll tell you, even the people that really seem to thrive in difficult circumstances are people who not only look upward, but they look outward. They begin to look at other people. You know, they begin to find other people that they can encourage. So I told you, I mentioned earlier, my mother died of lung cancer about 4 years ago. Weird thing. She never smoked, healthy as a horse. My grandmother lived to be like 102. So I thought my mother was going to live, but she got this weird kind of lung cancer and faked everybody out. And, you know, I'm a surgeon. I fix things. Here it is. My mother was dying of lung cancer, and I couldn't do anything about it. So along comes this lady named Catherine. Now, Catherine is a lady down here deep in the woods of East Texas. What she does is she goes and she walks along the river and picks pecans, and that's her time with the Lord. Was a lady of faith. Well, I met Catherine. She had had a locally advanced breast cancer, and you know, she came to the emergency room with it. When it was an emergency, she'd had it for years, and she knew that it was her time, and so she just didn't do anything about it. Her kids brought her to the emergency room, and so anyway, she kept coming back to the office, and here was a lady dying of breast cancer. And she heard about my mother, and you know, the conversation was never about her and her problems. It was always about how is your mother, and just you know, just to let me know that she was praying for my mother. And she would bring these pecans in that she picked, and she would always bring me pecans. Yeah, I'm from Texas, so I love pecans. But anyway, she'd bring these pecans in, and she'd tell me, you know, I'm praying for your mother. How's your mother? The conversation really was never about her. And here it was. I was a guy who was supposed to be imparting, you know, knowledge and all this stuff to her. And yet I'm the one that was receiving from her. And, you know, that's just such an example of someone who was looking outward. And it made such an impact on my life and in a situation that I felt so out of control in. And yet, you know, she had a huge impact. So just encourage people to, you know, look outward and find ways to encourage other people in the midst of your challenges, whatever they are. You know, if you've got cancer or if you're in the hospital, there's all kinds of people that you can encourage your doctor. You know, lots of people that you can find, a lot of things that you can do to look outward. And those are the people that really seem to thrive. It's funny. They seem to do better. They seem to, you know, through procedures and through chemotherapy or whatever. And so, you know, just looking upward and looking outward. I mean, it makes a huge impact.
Well, and that's ultimately Jesus's command to us is love God and love each other. And so that there were no caveat.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, there were no caveats to that. It didn't say love God and love each other when things are great. It was like end of sentence, you know, and I think that we can put our own disclaimers on that when in reality, if we would keep that as the command on our lives, even when things are hard and what we would call bad, you're right, it does. It colors everything else and it equips us to walk through it so much more beautifully, you know?
Well said. Yeah.
So we close our episodes with rapid fire questions.
Uh-oh.
They're fun. They're like fun little ways to close it out. What is your coffee order?
My coffee order, Folgers. Folgers at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I
Yeah.
love it.
Yeah,
Black
just
or
black.
black?
Well, I've changed. I used to drink a lot of cream, and I'm trying to do some things. I'm trying to do some intermittent fasting, you know, as you get older.
Oh,
So I'm doing a little bit of intermittent fasting. I don't eat during the morning, so I just drink my coffee black, which is terrible because I love a ton of cream in my coffee. But yeah, I drink it black so that I fast, and it's supposed to like reset your cells so that, you know, you're not getting so much, you know, as far as your insulin resistance and stuff. So just trying to lengthen the old years here,
Yeah,
Blake.
I love that.
So I'm a black Folgers coffee,
Black
man.
Folgers coffee at 4 o'clock in the morning.
4 o'clock in the morning every day.
And the last one is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh wow, man! I think I would want. I wouldn't want to be able to know what other people are thinking.
Me
As a
neither.
surgeon, you know, not to really worry about what other people think. I think probably be cool to fly.
Yeah.
I've always been a Superman nut.
Yeah.
I've always loved that. I mean, I know my kids love Batman and stuff, but no, I think flying is cool. It'd
Yeah.
be great to be able to get from point A to point B and not have to stop at a red
I
light.
completely agree. Completely agree. Tell everyone where they can find you and follow you and get a copy of your book.
Okay, so you can find my book in any bookstores. You can, I have a sale on my book, on my website, and I'll give you a link for that. And you can, get in touch with our stuff and our blog and all podcasts and all that stuff through our website, which is Charles W. Page, or spoonfulofcourage.com. And, yeah, you can reach us that way. Yeah, so we've got a lot of stuff too. I've got a lot of stuff for chaplains, like free things that you can print out to give to somebody in the
Yeah.
hospital as a free gift and stuff. A lot of times people go to the hospital and they don't want to give people,
Yeah.
so just stuff like that. And so I've also got I'd like to offer you guys my Surviving Sickness and Suffering Toolkit. It goes over a lot of this stuff we're talking about facts, faith, and feelings, and how to really, deal with those things. Talks about, how do we address healing and stuff like that? I mean, when God doesn't answer our prayers or answers in the way that He doesn't want us to answer them. So, yeah, just a lot of different stuff that people can do on the website.
Yeah, and we will link all of that in your show description so people can find that really easily within the app. Chuck, thank you so much. This was such a great conversation. This was such a blessing.
It's been awesome, Blake. Been really awesome. Yeah, I learned a lot. I like what you said about the steering wheel. I'm going to have to use that.
All right, that's it for this week. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crappy Christian Podcast. And hey, by the way, if you super loved it, can you go leave a 5-star review wherever you're listening? That'd be awesome. All right, see you next week.
Electrical pros, the Home Depot can help you put safety first with a 4-pack of Kidde FireX hardwire smoke detectors for just $39.97. Order these interconnected smoke alarms online and you put safety first. And that's followed by $10 savings on each pack, free delivery, and peace of mind knowing you got the right brand for fire safety. See? Put safety first and everything else follows when you order a 4-pack of Kidde smoke detectors for just $39.97. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only.